This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Final hour, Jones and Keith, WEEI. Jones off today. Travis Thomas is in. We got Grab Bag coming up about 15, 20 minutes from now. And it's funny, we were talking earlier about Tristan Casas and him, on the one hand, defending Rafael Devers, but on the other hand, just like making much more of a headache for Alex Cora and, you know, saying where guys are going to play and saying who should or shouldn't be on the roster. And basically his two or three main things were Devers should stay at third, Bregman should play second, and Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Christian Campbell should not start the year with the big club.
What?
Is there a chance that he's wrong about all five of those things?
And that he's actually playing with them today against Northeastern?
Yeah.
It's odd, isn't it?
Like, I'm sure those guys... So, like, you're defending Devers, but you're also kind of, like, burying, like, all these other guys. So, the angle of, like, he's just being a good teammate, it's like, okay, to a teammate, but to the rest of them... We had Bradford on yesterday, and he's like, there's a guy like Vaughn Grissom who's competing for the starting second baseman job, especially if Bregman's at third, like Vaughn Grissom might start, and you're basically telling him, like, no, 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 I got Bregman there, not you. Like, it's a weird thing when a player decides to step in and say who's playing where, because you're ultimately going to, you know, you're going to piss off somebody when you do that.
This is where baseball's culture is so different than other sports in a way. Like, when you think of football, I mean, Belichick for years, hey, I'm just happy to be out here competing for my job.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody's in a competition.
Now it's like, well, I'm the third baseman. Well, I like no. Like, I wish Cora just had a culture that was like, man, I'm just out here trying to keep my job.
No.
Because then you wouldn't have this stuff.
No.
You wouldn't have Devers with his position. You wouldn't have Casas trying to defend a teammate, if you want to call it that. Like, it keep your mouth shut. Bregman is the only one that got this right.
But it's bizarre to me because it's relatively common for players around the league to move positions. I mean, look at the Red Sox. Trevor Story got here, played second base. Jaron Duran goes from center to left, left to center, like every other game. Mm-hmm. Seydon Rafaela played three positions last year. Former Red Sox, Xander Bogaerts, moved to second base after a year after signing his crazy contract with San Diego. Mookie Betts is a Gold Glove right fielder, then played second base. Then they asked him to play shortstop, and he did all those things. And all those guys are better defensively than Devers. So it's like, what kind of, if any, like lingering effect do you think this will have? Is this a big deal because, hey, they just showed up and this is the first thing they're talking about? Or do you think this has a chance to kind of stick around for a little while and negatively impact the team?
You and I disagree on this. I think it becomes a bigger deal if you rip the Band-Aid off now. If you say, all right, Bregman, you're at third because that's what's best for the team. Rafa, you're the DH, blah, 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 so on and so forth. I think it's going to cause a bigger riff. I actually believe as time goes on, you let Rafi, if this happens, you let Rafi play himself out of third base.
Which, based on his 7 years in the majors, will happen.
Okay, so then now you could sit down and say, hey, Raf, you know, we tried this. We got a guy over here we don't believe is going to have the same problems, so we're going to move him to third, move you to DH. At that point, I don't believe Rafi can say anything. Mm. I mean, if they start the season with you on the hot corner and you blow it, Yeah. Well, what the hell? Go to DH.
We saw you do it. You can't do it.
What can
and
you
we
really
actually
say?
Have a real viable option right
now. Yes. What can you really say if you're Rafi, I'm saying?
No,
I think if you do it now, you have an issue. My hope and all Red Sox fans' hopes is that this somehow lights a fire, motivates him, and miraculously he's much better at third base defensively. Maybe that happens, and I think you have to give him a chance to show that, to prove that. I don't believe it's going to happen. I know you don't believe it's going to happen.
No.
But I think giving him the chance to do that is fair, sends the right message to your team. And if it's not working out, then we'll find out. Are you really a team guy? Because
doesn't seem it.
It doesn't now.
No.
But this is a talented team.
Yep.
If he is causing problems and not playing well defensively at third, and you go to him and say, listen, it's best for the team. The proof is here now.
Yeah.
It's best for the team to move you to DH. If he does it, that's a galvanizing moment. Playoffs, here we come, and watch out in the wide-open American League. But I will say this. This team is talented enough. If Rafi does become a problem, because right now this is good fodder for us to talk.
Yeah.
But if this becomes a sort of clubhouse splintering issue, well, now you have to have bigger conversations because this team is good enough and talented enough now, I believe, to make the playoffs.
They should be a playoff team.
They should be. And if this becomes that distraction, that big issue, I heard a caller say, you know, he could become a cancer to the team. If it becomes
I'm not either.
But again, it's a long season. If it starts to go and tread in those waters, then I think you have to have deeper, bigger conversations.
Well, I think one of the other big issues with all this is not only is it a guy standing there and being very selfish about, I'm the third baseman, despite being the worst defensive third baseman in baseball the last 7 years, he also isn't even in shape enough to play. Like, he's showing up out of shape, and he's showing up hurt. So, like, what level of commitment do you even have? It's not like he saw the Bregman signing and then got motivated and is like, the hell, he's going to beat me out for my spot.
Yeah.
He shows up. He can't even play. He's like on a knee taking these grounders with like pads and like yoga mats. And you're like, what is even this? So I wonder if Bregman ends up being the opening day starting third baseman, is it because he got the job or is like Devers not even ready to go? And I know we're a little ways away, but we are and we aren't. I heard the ad playing today on our station. Was it 5 weeks away from opening day? They're playing Northeastern today, right?
Today.
And then tomorrow.
Playing Northeastern right now.
Playing them right now.
Yeah.
Right now. And then tomorrow, this weekend they got games.
Yeah, I'm on after the game tomorrow. Shameless plug.
There you go.
Till 6. Check out the Travis Thomas Experience. So, yeah, we're going to find out quickly. My gut, if we're taking bets, because you know it always comes back to betting for me. I would bet Devers is the starting third baseman on opening day.
So you and I agree. Jones and Bradford think that it'll end up being Bregman even on opening day. I don't think it will be, only because it's like the path of least resistance right now.
Yes.
Yoshida can DH for now. Bregman can play second for now. And then eventually Christian Campbell, I hope, kind of kicks the door down and then we'll play second base. Bregman will play third. Devers will DH. I don't really know what you do with Yoshida. That's a classic, hey, that's Breslow and Cora's problem, not mine.
I feel like him and Cassis both are not going to be here.
Not long.
I think so.
Yeah.
Couldn't you kind of see that?
Definitely. So Cassis, I think, has real trade value.
Yeah.
I think Yoshida does not.
You need him to play well.
And
build that stock up, and then maybe that's a deadline move.
It's such a big contract, too, that you might have to pay a chunk of that.
Maybe.
He's making like $18.6 million for the next 3 years, I think. It's a crazy contract for Yoshida, who's essentially like a slap hitter.
Yeah.
But I think at least for opening day, he's probably your DH, and you kind of take it and go from there. Other stories with the Red Sox that are kind of flying under the radar, because everyone's talking about third base, would be the starting rotation and the closer position. So the closer position, you have two guys that are older, more experienced, but in the case of Hendricks, coming off of injury, and then in Aroldis Chapman, you know, a guy that I don't know if you can really rely on necessarily, but he's getting paid decent money, like really good setup money, and actually really not even that bad closer money. How do you see that spot shaking out as we go over the next month here?
I think it's going to be patchwork until you get to the deadline. You know, we've been doing this in this town since I've got here now 3 years.
Yeah.
Where every trade deadline, It's like the Sox are right there. It's like, or,
and then just, they don't do anything.
Go add someone, and then and they don't add anyone.
Right.
I believe this time around, and you and I have, are in lockstep here with as talented as this team is, and this is a glaring weakness. I think you need a bona fide closer, in my opinion.
I agree.
So, and I do, and I'm also, for the record, I'm someone who defends this rotation. I actually like, I like Crochet. I think Houck's going to have a big year. I think with the pressure now being off Bayo, I would anticipate Bayo playing well. I think Buehler is going to be just fine. And we know Cutter, obviously, is someone that's versatile, will be bullpen, will start, will, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually dislike this rotation. And I think a lot of these guys are innings eaters. But when you get to the deadline this year, I think this is the point where you got to go get somebody to close these games out. I really do. I think right now it's going to be patchwork until we get there.
I'm hopeful that Hendricks can do it. It's just been a little while. So, like, we've seen these closers. Some of them burn real hot. They're good for a couple of years, and then they're not. Or some of these guys just aren't the same after surgery. Sometimes they're even better. Sometimes they throw harder, like whatever it might be. So I think you at least have, in the early going, a chance to see both those guys. And then to your point, you get to the trade deadline, yeah, maybe you have to kind of up it from there, or you have to be more aggressive, or I don't know, one of those guys kind of takes over the role and then you're kind of good. They also have, you know, Slayton, they got Whitlock, they got a few other potential options, I guess, out there as well. The over-under in most places for the Red Sox is 86.5 wins.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I'm over that.
Okay.
I think... And we talked about this a little bit earlier. I mean, man, going back to that damn wild card last season.
Yeah.
I mean, you needed damn near 90. By the way, in the National League, you had to have 90 wins.
Yeah, it was different from the year before. The year before, it was much lower.
That's
and then
right.
And the NL got a lot better.
That's right, a good point. Right. Like, so, I mean, I look at this now. So, the O's, Royals, and Tigers were your wild card teams last year. O's had 91. Royals and Tigers both had 86. Okay.
That's a good number then. 86.5
yes,
is a good number.
That's,
so they
that's
get
what
over.
It took yeah. right. to get in the American League. Just because I, for point of reference, I brought it up in the National League, Padres got in with 93 wins, and we know they're dealing with the Dodgers, so I get it.
Yep, yep.
Braves and Mets, who both got in, had 89 wins. The Diamondbacks just missed out. They had 89 wins, but they missed out. So, I mean, listen, that tells you right there, if you believe the Red Sox are a playoff team, which you and I do, but mm-hmm. if you, the listener, and you want to make this bet, you got to get over 86 wins. So I believe this team, I think they're going to be right there, 88, 89 wins. I really do. Yeah, I think it's going to be right there.
So last year they were 81, and think about how many frustrating games
right.
there were and losses,
exactly.
and like they didn't buy at the deadline, and yet they still found a way to win 81. So can they be six games better?
I think so.
I do too. Yeah, I think they really should be. Like, I'm pretty optimistic on, like, Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
Like, the Bregman deal was really nice, and that's what got people really kind of hyped up. But, like, had they gone through this offseason and only signed Bregman, you'd be like, all right, that helps, but the rotation still needs, you know, some additions. And so Garrett Crochet and Walker Buehler allow you to kind of slot in guys like Houck and Bayo into spots that they're more comfortable. Like, you're not relying on those guys to make 33 starts and have a 3 ERA.
Like, that's right.
Bayo can be, you know, Nick was talking about this yesterday on the show. Bayo in the second half last year was solid. First mm-hmm. half was not. Mm-hmm. And so if he's more like the second half guy, then you kind of have something. But you're not banking on it. Like, I feel like there's so much pressure on him because everyone's like, oh, he's like baby Pedro. I'm
yes.
like, let's cool it with the baby Pedro. There is no baby Pedro.
He pitches well against the Yankees too, which helps
yep.
fire up that hype.
Yep.
This is a guy who plays the Yankees and seems like he steps up. So you naturally put more on him, like, oh, this is the guy. I agree with you. I think it was a lot of pressure. I think Houck was under a lot of pressure, too. I think both of those guys are going to be even better this year. Whitlock's another one, in, you know, bullpen-wise mm-hmm. that I like. And then you're at some point going to get Giolito back, although,
yeah.
you know, what do you have there? We'll see.
I don't know.
I'm willing to go, since we're talking about this, 88.
Yeah.
88 and 73. Does that sound about right to you?
I think
you get in. 88 wins get you in the postseason.
And maybe I'm
I
just
would think.
All swept up and everything, but I think they could be a player for the division too, only because I think the Yankees come back down to earth a little bit and the Orioles aren't as good. So those are the two teams you were really competing with. And if they shave off a couple of wins, you improve a couple of wins. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if all three make the playoffs, but I don't think there's going to be a big gap there between who wins the division and who comes in second and third.
Well, the O's last season were like only three or four games behind the Yankees, and the Yankees were dominant.
The Yankees were. But no Juan Soto, like their lineup, when you look at it, is really not all that impressive.
Well, I just mean as far as they didn't run away with the division,
oh,
right?
Oh, so yeah, you would think. Yeah. Because 94 wins.
Right. Okay.
And so then the O's at 91.
So there you go. So listen, here's where I agree with you. I do agree the O's take a step back. Losing Corbin Burns to the Diamondbacks was stupid. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand what happened there. The O's letting him get out of the building, that was a big mistake, and I think it will haunt them because that's really – he actually pitched well for them too. Mm-hmm. That's the other part. He didn't underachieve for the O's. So I think they're going to take a step back. We agree there. Where we disagree a bit, losing Soto is huge. But my God, Max Fried.
Fried
and Gerrit Cole is a 1-2 punch is a problem. I think the Yankees now, who will be allowed to have facial hair, will win.
Yeah, what a big win for them in the offseason.
They'll win the division. Yeah. I think they win the division. Where you and I are in lockstep, I'm taking the Sox to leapfrog the O's.
Okay.
In the division. Yep. And I think they'll be the team chasing the Yankees, and they'll be the team in the wild card.
The Orioles also lost Anthony Santander, who had, what did he have, 40 home runs last year?
Yeah,
like, he had like a big season.
You
take him out?
Yeah. It's weird that they finally got right there.
I know.
And all they had to kind of do was stay the course, and they're just like,
forget it.
Oh, well, we're not paying that. Like, what?
I mean, they still
have, right there.
They still have Rutschman, and they got Gunnar Henderson. Like, they're good. But, yeah, it's definitely a different type of team. You mentioned the facial hair thing with the Yankees.
So lame.
So it is incredibly lame that this took until 2025 for those guys to be allowed
so lame.
Well-kept beards, I guess.
Right.
So you can't even have, like, a reckless Wyatt family beard.
To be an adult.
Beard. Yeah, right. But so Devin Williams, the reliever they got from the Brewers, always had like a longer beard. And then he showed up to camp and he had to shave it. And then it was making the rounds around Twitter, like how crazy this is, how crazy this is. And then they changed the rule. But the dude already shaved.
Oh.
So he's like, what does he do now?
What a ripoff.
He's going to be pissed.
Johnny Damon's somewhere just beside himself on his yacht somewhere.
Just fired up. But now it's going to be more of a pain in the ass. So somebody in the organization now probably has to check that the beards fit the right qualifications, because before you're just like, all right, everybody's clean shaven. Now you're like, well, that one's a little too shaggy. That one's not. I'm also not blown away by their lineup. Like outside of Aaron Judge, it's like, okay, I don't think anybody.
Well, Stanton had a really good year.
So Stanton can run into some home runs.
But the issue with him, if you're a Yankees fan.
Does that work right now?
Right. I mean,
may not.
And that's the thing. If you're a Yankees fan, you can't be comfortable like, oh, Stanton's going to do it again.
No.
How can you feel that way?
They got what's ever left of Paul Goldschmidt, who I've loved as a player, but he's old.
He's old.
Cody Bellinger, like, no. DJ LeMahieu, they got Jazz Chisholm from last year.
They're going to be in low-scoring games and standing around waiting for Judge to hit bombs.
Yep.
That's what it is.
That's it.
But they're pitching. I mean, again, that 1-2 punch, bro.
Cole Fried.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, I still think they're going to be just fine.
Yep.
But they're not going to be as dominant as they were last year. And I don't see them getting back to the World Series.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We got Wally in Fall River. Wants to talk Sox. What do you got, Wally?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I wonder if you guys heard about that rumor floating around that the Dodgers are interested in Rafi Devers, that they offered Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, and a few other players. But it's going to be too curious to see what the attitude is of Devers during the season. Maybe Ortiz should talk to him now. I mean, you know, being a DH isn't that bad. You've had some pretty good ones in the past. They've had good careers. Ortiz, Edgar Martinez, JD. I mean, it's not as if you're asking them to work in the coal mine again. I think I mentioned that before. But like I said, I can't see him rotating it. You know, I mean, either he's a DH or not. You don't have to rest these guys already. But it's going to be interesting these first 3 or 4 weeks to see how they adapt in that infield. You know, whether you know, the pressure gets to Rafi or what's going on. But it's going to be these first 4 weeks going to be interesting in spring training, how he reacts.
I agree with you, Wally. And it's funny, I had not heard that. Newsweek has an article saying Dodgers predicted to land $313 million superstar in insane trade idea. So I don't think it's a report, but somebody from Bleacher Report predicted the Sox would trade Devers to L.A. So there is somebody that like wrote about it, but I don't think it's based on anything real.
Yeah,
if they get Brustar Graterol again this time.
Yeah, no, you're getting Wally was right. Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, Bobby Miller, Alex Freeland, who's a top prospect in their system, or their number four prospect. I don't think it's going to happen. Like the theory here is like, would he demand a trade? Because his whole thing about like, I'm the third baseman. Somebody asked him about like, would you want to be traded if you got moved off? And he's like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that until now or something. So people just kind of ran with it.
If he gets traded, which I don't think,
I don't believe so.
No. Neither one of us think he's going to get moved. In fact, we both think he's going to be the starting third baseman.
Right. That's true.
But if, you know, hypothetically, if he's to get moved, he's going to Toronto for Vlad Jr. That's where the hell he's going.
Yeah.
If it were to happen.
Yep. All right. We got Grab Bag coming up next. Travis Thomas is sitting in for Jones today. But right now here is Billy Laney with What's Trending.
If you smell what the
Grab Bag
is cooking.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Travis Thomas from Nesson in for Jones today. And let's get to the stuff we didn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including Zach Martin is going to retire from football. The the Dallas Cowboy guard, who is a 9-time Pro Bowler, 7-time All-Pro, and a member of the All-2010s team, is going to hang it up at the age of 34.
How about them Cowboys? I mean, it just gets even worse for them, doesn't it?
Seriously. Yep.
7-10 last year. They lose their coach.
Sad.
They settle for an in-house coach who was like, me? You want me to coach the team? Okay.
Like, I don't think so.
Now, an old-timer's retiring. Boy.
That's tough.
Things are, Jarrah's not aging well, huh?
Speaking of Jerry, though, this is the one time I would give him credit because everybody, you know, he is the GM of the team, yeah. Right? And everybody kind of laugh at it. And there was, in this draft that they took Zach Martin, everybody assumed they were going to take Johnny Manziel.
Oh, that was that draft.
They're like, oh, he's definitely like, oh, that's a classic Jerry pick. Yeah. Classic, he's going to take Manziel. No, he took Zach Martin,
Smart.
Who was a all-pro guard Smart. Every year. He's kind of a plug-and-play guy, and so somehow avoided taking Manziel.
G-R-A-B-B-A-G. You can call me Brad Trebek. G-R-A-B-B-A-G. You can call me Brad Trebek.
How about this? Anthony Davis progressing, but still out at least two more weeks.
Oh.
After the big blockbuster trade in the NBA, Luka Doncic didn't play last night, and he hasn't been very good with the Lakers. Anthony Davis played a half of one game.
Oh,
and
what a half it was.
He started great, and then he was out, and he was like, what a mess of a trade. I mean, Dallas Mavericks fans are rejecting the product. Anthony Davis might not play. Brian Windhorst was on yesterday saying there's no guarantee Luka signs an extension with the Lakers. What a mess. I mean, it made for a very entertaining trade deadline in the NBA, but yikes.
How Anthony Davis was it to come out in your debut,
so good,
put up buckets? So everyone's good. Like, maybe this isn't so bad. And then non-contact. Oh,
yep.
He goes down, and we haven't seen him since.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab, grab bag, 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 grab, grab bag.
Texas football coach Steve Sarkisian has signed an extension through the 2031 season. He's going to make $10.8 million next year, and in his final year, $12.3 million, which makes me think once again, like, how many of these college coaches are even going to end up going to the pros? Like, it's certainly not for the money. I mean, you look at what the top end guys, like the Ryan Day deal he just signed in Ohio State, Sarkisian's extension there. Because there was like the rumors, hey, maybe Deion Sanders might leave and go pro. Like, maybe they want the challenge, but they're not leaving for the money. Like, the money's clearly there in college football.
Well, I mean, why would you leave for the pros when it's already the pros?
You're basically doing the same job now.
I mean, trades are transfer portal, free agency's NIL.
Right.
Yeah, there's no such thing now. It's like there used to be some time off for the college coaches. There's no such thing of that anymore. You're 24/7 just like an NFL coach is. What's the difference? Sark, though, that's a great investment for Texas to keep that guy there. Eventually he'll break through. That's too talented of a program. And now it's the Arch Manning era. Yeah, they're going to get a title. They'll get a natty at some point.
What's your prediction for Bill Belichick at North Carolina?
I think Bill is going to raise, and he kind of already has, he's going to raise the attention level of UNC, which will help get in recruits and get attention on that program, which is known for basketball and not so much football.
Yeah.
I think he'll make it more of a football brand. I think he'll get them into the college football playoff shortly, if not this year. And then his son will take over a powerhouse. I don't think Bill's
lead them to the promised land.
I think so.
Do you think Bill makes a college football playoff in his time there?
Yes. And then that's what I mean. I think he levels them up.
Got it.
And then his son reaps the benefits. Because his son can coach.
We'll see. I mean,
well, I think his son can coach.
Okay. I mean,
he's a weirdo.
Yeah,
but he can coach.
Facial expressions.
Yeah,
odd.
He's strange. Well, he can coach.
I don't know. Like, so he had 1 year away from Bill, right? He was the D coordinator last year with Washington. So, yeah. Like, I guess we'll sort of see what he could do.
And he had some success there, too. I think he can coach.
Okay. I just think, you know, when Bill was here and Steve and Gerard Mayo kind of co-ran the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, all right, how much credit do either of those guys get? Because it is a Bill defense. And then we see Mayo for a year have a shot at it. Not great. So, yeah, it'll be determined with Steve. I do think, though, that Bill's going to have success. The ACC is not great. And you could go on a run there. All you have to do is basically beat Clemson, and then you're going to be in the in the tournament. So, yeah, he's got a chance.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a
grab bag,
which is what I am.
Former Chargers head coach Brandon Staley has teaming up with Kellen Moore in New Orleans. He's going to be the defensive coordinator for Kellen Moore. The roles were reversed in L.A. with the Chargers, if you remember, where Kellen Moore was the OC and Staley was the head coach, and so now they're flipping it the other way.
What an awful coaching staff. What an awful roster. What an awful organization. They should have ripped the Band-Aid off when it was over with Drew Brees at the end of that and Sean Payton. They should have just rebuilt then. But instead they thought, I know what we'll do. We'll go get Derek Carr and we'll be fine.
No, that's not
wrong.
No, not working out. So you're down on Kellen Moore?
Yes.
He was pretty good with Philly.
Stop.
You don't like him.
That team is going to be the worst team in the league next year.
New Orleans is going to be pretty bad.
Which good for them. Maybe they'll go get Arch.
Maybe
tank
they will.
For Arch.
That might be their plan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a
grab bag.
Take it away.
All right, I know you've been in on college football, but for a lot of people, college basketball, but for a lot of people, you know, football's over. Now the Four Nations is over. Maybe you start to really kind of sink your teeth in. And this weekend, you got a bunch of good games. So you have Tennessee, Texas A&M tomorrow. The SEC is loaded. They got, like, all the best teams in the country are in the SEC. So that's a noon game.
Yeah.
Number 6 versus number 7. You got Houston, Iowa State in the Big 12. Both teams are in the top 8. Alabama, Kentucky, another matchup of two top 20 teams. But who are you liking right now, a couple weeks away from the big dance?
I'll be honest, I'm going to watch tonight. I want to see Michigan State against Michigan. That game's in Ann Arbor.
All right.
That's a huge game because we know what Sparty does this time of year generally. Yeah. Yep. Once you start getting into late February, early March, that's Izzo time, generally speaking. And then his teams, you know, once tournament time comes around, we know what it is. So I'm looking to see that game tonight. Michigan's been very good all year. It is in their barn. So I'll have my eyes out on that. I'll tell you a team I've been watching closely. And kind of to answer your question, one that I believe in and I think is going to go on a deep run. I don't know if you've checked them out this year. St. John's, man.
Oh, Patino. Oh, he's got them cooking right now, right?
That team, yeah, it is a quintessential Patino team, too. Uh-huh. Yes, they're talented. Yes, they have some ringers. But really, collectively, they are tougher than $2 steak tips. I mean, they're in every game. They play defense.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So that's a team. I want to see, like, depending on seeding, I think that's a team that's going to go on a deep run.
Very good.
The wonder of the grab bag. Take a chance, make it grab bag. Pop a cork, fingers grab bag. Spin the wheel, round and round grab bag. Life is grab, life is bag. Grab bag yourself a front grab bag. Let's meet and have a grab bag. Yeah, let's live for the wonder of the grab bag.
How about this exciting movie news? The Rock is reportedly going to be the lead in Martin Scorsese's next film.
Whoa.
Martin Scorsese is going to be doing a movie apparently about a ruthless Hawaiian crime boss.
Whoa.
Who will be portrayed by The Rock. How do you think that's going
to
go?
Well, are we ready to have the conversation about The Rock's actual acting skills?
Yes.
Because
I'm ready for it.
It sounds like there's going to be a lot on him with this. Like,
yeah, I would say
are we
so.
Sure The Rock can act?
I don't think we are. I think as far as former wrestlers are concerned, I feel like John Cena has passed him by on the high speed lane.
Right?
John Cena, very charismatic, very funny
right?
in comedies.
Like,
Rock has made some bad choices.
Yeah, we're going to need to see some acting chops here when you're with Scorsese. But it's a great opportunity.
It is.
Because if he kills this role, it puts all that, what we're doing, it puts all that to bed.
It does.
Being next to Leo will just make him look even worse.
You could go that route, too. That's a possibility.
Oh.
Also, this, maybe you aren't ready for this take. I don't think Martin Scorsese's made a good movie in 15 years.
Oh.
How do you like that?
Wow.
How do you like that?
Wow.
These are his last five movies. Killers of the Flower Moon, awful. Came out in 2023. The Irishman, horrible.
It's too long.
2019 was so long. I never saw the movie Silence, so if that was good, then so be it. I'm out on that.
No.
I don't think a lot of people saw it.
No.
This one's more polarized. The Wolf of Wall Street was not my cup of tea.
What?
Yeah, I did not like it.
Loved it.
Okay, so then you would say 2013 was the last good one for
That's
for
a long
season.
Time.
He also did Hugo in 2011. And then he did Shutter Island, which I actually liked.
I did like that, too.
Shutter Island was good.
So mixed bag
mixed.
There.
But The Rock really, I think, started out decent with, like, The Rundown and Walking Tall.
But he that's not cameo. Acting, bro.
Not just him, like, doing
it's
rock bottoms
the
on
rock.
People.
Yeah, he's playing himself.
It's all right.
Which
but Black
fine.
Adam also should have been kind to him, and that movie was bad.
Well, this one that's coming out, he's going to have to act.
Yeah.
Like, you have to act here. And so, I have some concerns.
I am worried as well.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach.
Grab bag.
Speaking of celebrity news, it's official.
Okay.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez divorced. It's been in the works now for a while. Apparently, these things don't happen overnight.
It just happened? I thought it happened months ago.
So did I.
It's official.
I thankfully have never been divorced. I understand that it takes quite a bit of time.
Pen to paper.
Yeah.
Now.
It takes a long time for all, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's.
I would imagine it's a prenup. How much do they really need to settle?
I don't know. I would think, who has more money in that sense?
I would just like to offer my
probably
support.
Ben Affleck now that Dunking's money.
Oh yeah, Dunking's money. You want to offer your support
I'd
to Jennifer?
I offer my support to Jennifer
yeah,
right now.
That's
her
really
time
kind
of need.
You. Yeah.
I will not marry you, but no. I would if you need help to get through this.
Yeah.
Please,
yeah,
maybe give me
like
a shout.
Like a nice meal of food or something. Yes. You guys could go. Yes. That'd be pretty good. All right, let's get to
you're a man bag, Harry.
Top NBA performers from last night. I'm going to give you five choices. You okay. Tell me who had the best night in the league.
Okay.
Miles Bridges, 36 points, 13 rebounds, 7
all right.
assists.
All right, all right.
Nikola Jokic, 29 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists.
All right.
Jamal Murray in that same game went for 34. Josh Giddey for the Bulls, 27 points, 16 rebounds.
Ooh.
And old man LeBron James, 40 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and the Lakers win over the Blazers.
Bron had a night. I wish we got a little Peyton Pritchard love in there. Pritch was cooking.
He was lighting it up.
I think old man LeBron had
all
the
right.
best night.
Yeah.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, Travis, this is where I describe a random baseball player based on year, stats, and teams. And you, Billy, and Nick have to guess. And if you can't come up with it, you feel free to look at the text chat or the text line as well. All but right. For starters, we have a pitcher, starting pitcher,
okay.
left-handed,
okay.
and he pitched for the Pirates, Braves, Rockies, Reds, Yankees, Twins.
Oh, my God, dude.
Six teams. Part of a 13-year career, broke into the majors in 1991. His last pitch was in 2003.
What?
He was a two-time All-Star, third and an eighth-place Cy Young finish. So we're not talking about some ham and egger here. This guy could
he might be a little more than random.
This guy might be a little bit maybe too good.
What was he? What year and what team for the All-Star?
Okay, All-Star in 95 with the Pirates, and he was an All-Star in 97 for the Braves.
What?
Yep. You can't Google. What are you Googling? You typing stuff in? What are you
how
doing?
Do I Google this? How do I Google
do you
this?
You rattle it off too quick. You can't keep up with
that's
that.
That's true. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. What am I Googling?
Yeah. Random player. We get AI answers sometimes. There's a guy that'll text in AI answers. So, all right. Left-handed starting pitcher.
Two-time All-Star.
Two-time All-Star. Career 4.24 ERA. 124 jeez. Career wins. Over 1,400 career strikeouts.
So it was an All-Star appearance with the Pirates, you said? And then who was the other one?
Pirates, Braves.
Pirates, Braves?
Lefty.
And in 97, he was 20-5 and finished third in the Cy Young. Let's see who he lost to. This helps. He lost to Pedro Martinez and Greg Maddux. Seems like kind of tough luck there, going up against Pedro with Montreal and Maddux, which was his teammate. All right, text line, or Twitch line, Twitch chat has it.
They
and
do?
And text line has it as well.
Oh, yeah. I would have never.
We are slacking.
Who do you got?
I would have never guessed this.
Who is it?
I see it.
Say it.
The one at the bottom?
No, the one in the middle.
Yeah, the one in the middle.
The one in the middle there.
Oh, maybe
the one
have
in
it.
The middle.
$10 shake.
It's not
has
the
it.
Belinda?
No, it's not Stan Belinda.
Oh, all right. I did miss it then.
Right there. Right smack in the middle. $10 shake.
Nagel?
Denny Nagel.
Denny
oh.
got it.
The great Denny Nagel.
I would have never.
Glasses.
I would
yeah,
have
like,
never.
He's like, huh? What?
I was like, where?
Where is it?
So having to think of the other guy on those Braves rotations
yeah.
is near impossible.
Because it was Maddux,
yeah.
Smoltz, and
Avery
Glavin.
Was the first lefty I thought.
I would have
Avery,
never got
yeah, Avery
it.
Was Avery, earlier.
But Avery had a stint with the Sox, and that wasn't mentioned.
Right. And I think they basically replaced Avery with Nagel. Then they also had a Kent Merker in there for a minute. Nice little pitcher as well. All right, there you go. There, that's how you play.
By the way,
baseball
apparently J-Lo and Affleck, no prenup. That's
oh.
why it's taking so long.
That could be dangerous.
Why would he do that?
Yeah. Why would he do it? I think
why would she
more.
Do it? She might have more money than him.
Well, she's been married mad times, though.
That doesn't help.
So it lines
help.
Up with the her brand and not
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do
ooh,
that?
He might have that money, though. He's got that production company.
He's got
oh,
money.
Oh, he does. No, oh, he definitely has
you guys
money.
Are sleeping on Ben's paper. Them Dunk Kings checks.
Yeah. But J-Lo's got all the – she's got music and TV. Or, I'm sorry, and
right,
movies.
So I don't know how much you trust the net worth website.
I don't, but what do you got?
Ben Affleck at 150.
What about J-Lo?
What's hers?
I'll wait.
I'm going to get there.
Go
well,
ahead.
He's got Batman 150 money.
150 seems low.
Dude, Batman
y'all
money.
Sleeping on Affleck's
maybe
he's got Batman money. That's Bruce Wayne. Money.
But I feel like he might also have a different kind of lifestyle.
According to Forbes, September, she's got a net worth of $400 million.
Oh!
Not even close.
I stand corrected.
I trust these websites, but that's
no, I don't. But that's a sizable gap there between.
Well,
the
good
two.
For him to not have a prenup.
It's all the iced coffees and munchkins he's buying.
Yeah,
smart tracksuit.
Holy shnikes.
Doing all that. All right, we will wrap up the program and check in with WEEI Afternoons coming up next. All right, back here on Jones and Keith, Travis Thomas in for Jones today. It is time for our clip du jour. What is that? Great question. It's the clip of the day. And today, apparently we got. I didn't realize this.
Oh.
We got. So Tony Marinaro, who hosts a show in Montreal, big Canadiens fan, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
He called in under a fake name.
Is that right?
That's right. He called our show as Curly in Boston, which perhaps should have been a red flag. But anyway, here we are. This is us getting got earlier today.
The USA beat them last week when the game didn't mean anything. Last night was the biggest game. Last night was the final.
It's true.
I mean, what's going on here? Look, we don't have a Connor McDavid. We don't have a Sidney Crosby. We don't have a Cale Makar. We don't have a Nathan MacKinnon. What do we have? We have Austin Matthews. He disappears in every big game. He goes into the corner. He goes get a guy to make it a 3-on-1, and we leave the best player in the world, Connor McJesus, all alone in the slot. Guys, we don't know how to play hockey, man. All we do is we talk a big game. We go out there. Matthew Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk. Matthew was a selfish move, guys. He was hurt. We didn't play Kyle Connor because we paid Matthew Tkachuk for 6 minutes, guys. Our arrogance is getting the best of us. We have to stop. We have to stop with this 51st state garbage. See, last night we were owned, guys. We were the 11th province of Canada.
They lost in overtime.
That's the best part.
I was like, hey, he's fired up about it. He's good. He was like, no, apparently he's a Canadian guy taking shots. Although if I was them, I wouldn't be feeling all that great. Like, you're supposed to be the equivalent of Team USA basketball. And if Team USA basketball lost a game in the round robin and then went to overtime and barely beat a team, I don't think we'd be like puffing our chest out about it. But that's fine.
By the way,
that's fine.
Since you and I were talking the gambling aspect,
that's right.
BetMGM and DraftKings today reported that the Four Nations face-off championship game was their most bet hockey event of all time.
Makes sense. Makes sense. You don't think they're going to be back in on Bruins Ducks this weekend? Putting all my money on Bruins Ducks this weekend. No Charlie McAvoy in that one, or probably the foreseeable future. All right, the crossover is brought to you by the 99. Looking for a great value for lunch? Visit the 99 restaurant for their new daytime deals menu, available Monday through Saturday until 5 p.m. Try the Vermont cheddar chicken sandwich, flatbread combos, and 6 new hearty sandwiches. You gotta love the nines. Andy Hart. I know you got to be disappointed that the crowd didn't boo the
Canada. I mean, a little bit. I was a little disappointed with how many Canadian fans there were there.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
We're not far enough away from Canada.
No.
Yeah.
And it sounds like someone made the trip of it. I heard some TV interviews down on the street, and it was like, yeah, we came down for 4 days, and we're seeing the game.
Wow.
I think that may have affected the booing. Because obviously they weren't going to.
Perhaps. Although, and I was Travis missed it.
I still haven't
heard
it.
She was so bad. You got to get it. Well,
awful. Yeah. I don't even know who she was. And apparently she made some political statement that I didn't even get. She tweaked some lyrics.
A little over
like,
your head. Oh, yeah.
What, you know the words?
Sure do.
After O Canada, what comes next?
Home and native land.
Oh, okay, wow. Keep going.
Yeah.
True patriot love and all
else when the heart foundation.
Yeah.
The
anvil too.
And edge.
They adopted Brian Pillman, not a native Canadian, but they brought him in.
Same thing with the Bulldog. Bulldog wasn't Canadian.
No, Bulldog British. Was British, in fact.
Was he really?
As it turns out. Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He married one of the Hearts.
Same with Neidhardt. They're both in-laws.
Yeah, brother-in-laws. Wow.
Okay.
The whole Hart Foundation, they all married, even the girls all married wrestlers.
With glowing hearts we see.
I was always a Steiner guy.
Oh, like Steiner big Papa Pump?
I was a Steiner
his
guy.
Kid his kid's in it.
Really?
His kid's a killer.
He's a spear machine.
Yeah, he's a brute.
Yeah, Steiners.
Big Papa Pump. He really got big mid-career. Remember when he went from Michigan unitard thing?
Yeah. He looked like an amateur wrestler.
All-American guy.
Ball.
Yeah.
Like a softball. Just
and an attitude.
And then that gold chain link.
He's good.
Thing.
He's good.
And then he was like, got all sexual. Remember, he kind of had a little, he had like a
big bad booty daddy.
Harem of women with him in the ring and talking about his nightly exploits. And
yeah.
How'd we get here?
I'm not entirely sure.
From far and wide. Okay.
Just check in.
Yeah, just every.
You do a better job than she did.
No, in all seriousness, like,
I was singing along.
The NHL couldn't get.
I love the Canadian anthem.
Get like a real.
Most people do.
Canadian
it's weird
to sing it?
Because it's an awesome anthem.
Yeah. I think it's generally considered one of the best anthem. Globally. Which is weird. I don't know how you rank anthems. Like, aren't you supposed to have pride in your own? And
they're all
tier. There's other things on the tier, Hart.
And now the Kazakh national anthem to the tune of your national anthem.
Feels like ranking hot wives and having your wife like sixth. Like a bad idea.
Yeah, it's not great. What do you guys got coming up today on the program?
So 3:30, we will have. We'll obviously lead off with Four Nations, the disappointment, sort of the stars not aligning necessarily, and. The old school, I mean, how do you let Connor McDavid just free in the middle of the ice? And for like,
he seemed to have
what the hell are we doing?
Good amount of space there.
Yeah, what that are we doing? Guy. Why are you letting
this
that
one guy?
Guy
yeah. You double-team him, triple-team him, whatever. If somebody else scores, you go, not our night. But we'll start with the Four Nations. 3:30, we'll have our weekly chat with Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. 4:30, we will begin a five-week series of chats on Fridays with someone from Florida at Fenway South.
Oh, nice.
So Will Fleming will join us at 4:30.
Very good.
We'll have an expanded odds and ends because it's been another one of those weeks where it feels like the major stories dominate the shows and then you're like, we never got to this. We never got to that. Mm-hmm. So boatload of stuff we'll get to at the end of the show. Fitzy will be in studio with me to start things off. Ted will join at 3. So
very good.
Loaded show, lots of fun. But Will Fleming, 4:30, talking Sox, who are playing right now, right?
Yeah, taking on Northeastern. Isn't
Tristan Casas, the only regular in the lineup?
What does that mean?
Maybe shut your hole or you're going to get treated like a minor leaguer.
Travis Thomas, thanks for coming in, man. Oh, this was great.
It was fun.
And you're on tomorrow after the Sox, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, very good.
Yep.
Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. Great job by Nick and Billy as well. Enjoy your weekend. Jones will be back Monday with me starting at 10.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.